Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. We have 23 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast overall, we have southwest winds 5 to 10 knots today. Wind waves from the west, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart. Those are the local conditions caused by local winds. And then northwest swells coming in from further out to sea, 3 feet high at 10 seconds apart. Areas of drizzle early in the morning with that marine layer. And today we'll talk about the most common reasons for ships being lost at sea, according to a new report from the International Association of Dry Cargo Ship Owners. It gives you sort of an overview of what happens to ships when things go wrong at sea. But first, let's take a look at ships that where things are not going wrong, and they're coming and going on the Columbia River. We have 4 inbounders. We have 6 in the Astoria Anchorage, 3 at the Rice Island Anchorage, and 10 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is a bulk carrier called the Yasa Eagle. She's arriving from South Korea, headed for, I'm not really sure where her berth is going to be yet. And this is sort of an interesting little bit of trivia that sometimes ships head here, not knowing exactly where they're going to land in terms of what berth they're going to, because the details of exactly what their cargo is and where they're going haven't quite been figured out, but they still are in transit. So they're pretty sure they're going to figure it out. They're committed to bringing the ship into the river with a pilot and incurring that expense, which is relatively minor compared to the huge cost of operating a vessel. But still, they know that they're going to be on the Columbia. And so at some point before this ship gets here, they will figure out where she's going. But in the meantime, it's listed as to be determined on the ship schedule. She'll be passing Astoria, heading upriver, probably about 1 p.m. And if they still don't know, she'll end up in an anchorage here, maybe in the Astoria Anchorage. The Sahel Amafyar is arriving from offshore. She's headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She's becoming seemingly kind of a regular visitor here on the river. I've seen her come in and several times over the past month or so. And sometimes ships end up on kind of a dedicated run for a while as they go about their business. Some other ships are kind of referred generally as colloquially as tramp ships, in that they are like semi-trucks for hire and their cargoes change all the time. But those are ships that you're seeing sitting out in the anchorage there tend to be more than not that kind of ship, because they're undergoing inspections. Sometimes they may have to paint their cargo holds because they're switching into a food cargo from a mineral cargo, and they need to be inspected. And so all sorts of things go on there in the anchorage in terms of inspection and allowing permissions for ships to continue on their way. The Martorell is our next inbounder, arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's a car carrier headed for the port of Portland. Honda's on board, and she'll go up there and drop off those Hondas, and she might very well take on some Fords, U.S. cars, manufactured vehicles, headed for Asia for South Korea. So she'll pass Astoria maybe around, 1 o'clock or so. She's coming in around 8 p.m., so maybe about 9:30 or so you'll see her passing Astoria inbound, and that would put her about 6 hours later at the port of Portland. The STI Isles is coming in from Panama City. She's a petroleum tanker. She'll be heading for Portland, passing Astoria a little bit after midnight and arriving early in the morning tomorrow in Portland, so about 6 hours upriver. In the Astoria Anchorage, we have the Raraka. She's a ship that's been sitting out there for a bit, headed for Kalama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat, leaving around 10 a.m., arriving in Kalama about 5 hours later. That leaves the Atalia, the Spring Aeolian, the Astrea, the Sudestada, and the Aeolian Fortune awaiting orders. Actually, the Aeolian Fortune is in the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from the Astoria Anchorage, but you can still see it from the waterfront, along with the New Confidence, the Star Sophia, and the Three Saskias. They are awaiting orders at Rice Island. And our outbounders, the Tustumina, is headed out of the shipyard at Swan Island around noontime. She'll be passing Astoria maybe around 6 p.m. outbound. The Pegasus Highway, car carrier, she is heading out of Portland. Could have Fords on board as well. She went to the Honda dock And that is where they, I think they're loading those Fords for South Korea, as far as I understand, or at least for Asian ports. She'll be leaving around 2, passing Astoria around 8. The Prabhu Yuvika heading out of Kalama. She's a bulk carrier with corn, soy, or wheat on board, leaving around 3. So maybe around 8 p.m. you might see her going by with lots of light in the evening. You can see more ships going by in the evening now with our long days. The Cactus K is leaving Longview with logs on board around 3. So maybe around 6:30, she'll pass Astoria outbound. The Star Minerva is leaving the Port of Portland. Soda ash on board there, used to make automotive glass, is one of its big uses. She'll be leaving around 3:30, so that means around 9:30 or so in the evening, you might see her pass Astoria outbound. So there's about between six and eight-hour transit from Portland down to Astoria, and that can... It depends on where the ship is leaving from. If it's way up on the Willamette River, it might be closer to 8 hours. If it's going against a rising current, it could slow it down like a flood tide. If it's going on an ebb, it might get downriver a little quicker. So there's all kinds of factors that make it sort of only an estimate of when a ship will go from one place to another, how long it will take. Sometimes ships coming in on a heavy ebb, especially in bad weather, from the Columbia River Bar to Astoria can just take forever to get up from one place to another because there's so much pushing against the ship. So all those travel times are estimates. The Daiwan Champion is a bulk carrier. I think cement, something related to cement could be her cargo, heading out around 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 hours later. The IVS North Berwick is leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 5 p.m. That's about a 5-hour transit to Astoria. The Queen Asia is leaving Vancouver, Washington, with wheat on board around 6 p.m., so around midnight passing Astoria, and the Star Crimson leaving Portland with wheat around 10, so maybe 5 a.m. tomorrow morning you might see her pass Astoria. And the articulated tug and barge, the Dublin Sea, a regular visitor, she's a petroleum carrier in that barge, heading out around 11, that would put her past Astoria around 5 in the morning or so. Well, I found this on gcaptain.com, one of my favoriteest maritime news portals. I love to, if you're a maritime news geek like me, just go to gcaptain.com and just browse. You'll really have fun with it. But I found this article about a report about ship casualties. And so, you know, ships are pretty hardy. The ships that come into the Columbia River are very well inspected, so they tend to be the safer, more well-maintained vessels in the world that come into U.S. ports because of our Coast Guard safety inspections. And ships that are poorly maintained tend to avoid the U.S. and Europe because of the safety inspections that could sideline them if they're not safe. So we see kind of the best coming into our ports, but in terms of maintenance and seaworthiness. Elsewhere in the world where regulations are not so good, ships disappear at sea quite often. But this is a report about what are the causes of ships being lost at sea or having problems. So this is the International Association of Dry Cargo Ship Owners. Bulk carrier casualties from 2008 to 2017. According to the report, 53 bulk carriers have been identified or were identified as total losses between 2008 and 2017. Now, this organization represents about 20% of the global cargo-carrying ship fleet. So it's not representative of everything, but it does give you an idea. In terms of cargo problems, liquefaction, which I've talked about on the ship report before, is a big factor in some ships that end up in big trouble and sink. And this is certain kinds of clay, like certain kinds of clay cargoes, nickel ore, can behave like liquids if they get too much moisture in them. And so a ship can have a dry cargo that can all of a sudden start acting like a liquid and slosh around and cause the ship to literally sink. Other things are cargoes like fertilizer that can catch fire. There was a ship called the MV Cheshire in August 2017 that burst into flames and burned for 2 weeks because it had cargo, fertilizer cargo in the hold. So those are some of the things, the reasons why cargo ships can get in big trouble at sea. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.